Welcome to the Hinckley Institute of Politics. My name is Maher, and I will be your host for today's forum. The Hinckley Institute of Politics was established in 1965 under the generous bequest of the Noble Foundation and Robert H. Hinckley. The Institute is dedicated to teaching students respect for practical politics and the principle of citizen involvement in government. The Hinckley Institute offers paid internships to students of all majors here locally in D.C. and in 35 nations around the globe. Hinckley also offers classes, the nation's only campaign management minor, week-long experiences in D.C., and over $400,000 in academic scholarships. We invite students to go next door or to our website, hinckley.utah.edu, for more information. Today's forum is brought to you in partnership with the Lowell Benyon Community Center, which fosters lifelong service and civic participation by engaging the university with greater community in action, change, and learning. I would now like to turn the time over to our moderator, Ola Omotowa.
Okay. This panel will be introduced. We're happy to be partnering with the Hinckley Institute of Politics to offer this forum today. I'm a member of the Benyon Center, and I'm on the Community Engaged Scholars Leadership Team. And what the Community Engaged Scholars Leadership Team does is we recruit new members by doing class visits. We go out and we try to hold reflections for current members, as well as keep old members in touch with new members by offering a mentorship program to go through the requirements. The Lowell Benyon Community Center not only fosters lifelong learning, but also civic engagement participation by engaging the University of Utah with the greater Salt Lake community. Founded in 1987, the Benyon Center provides opportunities for community engagement through direct volunteer work, service learning opportunities as well. Roughly 8,000 students and staff go through the Benyon Center to complete 22,000 hours of community service. Today's panelists consist of professor, a community partner, and a former student of the University's of Utah CLCS 3960 class. And this class is a Cultures in Contact class, and it's been a community engaged learning class for about 5 years now. If you're interested in registering for this class after this panel discussion, you can find it in the community engaged learning class section, which is listed under French, German, Russian, and Spanish. Today's panelists are Lily Alevi. That's it? Mm-hmm. Okay. She's an associate instructor for languages and literature here at the University of Utah. Lily is the instructor for this Community Engaged Cultures in Contact class. And then we have Rosemary Sazesh. Okay. Rosemary Sazesh. She's the program assistant with the Salt Lake Community Foster Grandparent and Senior Companion Program. She's the community partner for this Cultures in Contact class. And she's the independent volunteer living program for this class. And then finally, we have Jeffrey Luigi?
Lugli. Much of hard names, I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem. I have a hard name as well. And he's now you're contacting with the International Refuge Community, is that correct?
I'm the Donations Coordinator.
Okay, the International Coordinator. All right, he's a former student of this class, and he did the Spanish language section of the class, and he's continued to volunteer with the Foster Grandparent and Senior Companions Program. So I would like to begin by asking a few prepared questions, after which we'll open the forum to questions from the audience. For the three of you, why did you decide to participate in community-engaged learning, and what motivates you to teach in this way, or why, for the students in here, how would they benefit from signing up for a community-engaged learning class?
Okay, so first of all, thank you for having us here, having taught at the university. I have worked with Benyon Center. Thank you so much for having included our class in your center. I always thought that having a class and just transmitting a knowledge, old or new knowledge, to a new generation might not be enough. We wanted to have it to apply our knowledge more to an authentic setting. And Benyon Center and the Community Engaged Learning had provided that for us, that to not only to have the knowledge, but also to be able to apply it in an authentic setting. So our students are able to use the language that they know, as well as what we practice in the class and what we talk in the class, to their setting. And that was the reason for applying for the community engaged learning as far as an instructor.
I chose to volunteer through that class because I was back then studying international studies. And it was extremely interesting, but it was mostly theoretical knowledge that we were learning about. And you can read dozens of books on international and intercultural communication if you don't put yourself in a setting where you're able to actually engage in intercultural communication. You're never actually going to learn the basics of it. Okay. So I think it's a lot about putting in practice the things that we learn in class. It's also about practicing languages. Many of us have taken a few semesters here and there or have studied abroad and know that you don't master a language until you use it, meaning that until you actually need to use that language, you won't actually become fluent. And that's what the class offers.
I work with low-income senior citizens, and we hire them to work as stipended volunteers. And they either work with children as a foster grandparent, or they work with homebound, frail, adult, elderly individuals. I'd say about half of our senior volunteers are either bilingual or very limited English speaking. And because they earn a little bit of money, they earn around between $200 and $400 a month extra income. We have found that a lot of the seniors that come to this country can't find jobs and they really need the money. They might not even have SSI or any kind of income, so it gives them an opportunity to utilize their skills and to earn a little bit of money. So because of the fact that we have difficulty communicating with these people, we decided to contact the University of Utah, which we did about 10 years ago, and we were working through the different language departments, and it has been a tremendous, tremendous asset in helping us interact with our seniors. Oftentimes, the volunteers will come in and sit in on our trainings. We have trainings once a month that are mandated by the federal government for our volunteers. Well, rather than just having them sit there and not knowing what the speaker is talking about, we're able to utilize the student interpreters to interpret whatever training we have for that day. And oftentimes we need to communicate with our clients because, let me just use an example. Many of our volunteers are Russian-speaking, and some of them don't even speak a word of English. So we've had to learn a little bit of their language as well. Most of their clients might not speak English either. So the students come in and help us explain what the program is, what's going on, and when we go out to do our paperwork, the students can go with us and help us fill out the paperwork. So then we have a volunteer that can work and earn a little bit of money, and then you have a client that can receive services. So it really makes a big difference. And also, I think the good part about it is that it gives the older individual and the student an opportunity to bridge that generation gap. And I think for the students, a lot of them think, oh, I don't really want to work with an old person. They smell and, they can't walk and might not be fun. But I think most of them have told me that once they have that experience that they really look at aging differently. And it gives them something to look forward to.
Okay. For Lily, can you please describe how the community engage portion of this class, just how does it work? And what does the class, or what do the students do in the community? And also, how does this support exactly what they're learning in class?
Okay. Well, talk about immigration has been a U.S. staple in the media and everywhere else. So we have a lot of immigrants in this. Utah is kind of like a microcosm of what's happening in the United States. And we thought that our students should get a hands-on knowledge of not just issues of just immigration, but then also, immigrants come here as immigrants or refugees, but they also have, when they come here, not everything would be, as we in back east would say, hunky-dory. It would be acculturation, integration. Why do they even come here? So we talk about these in the class, and then they have that. We hope that they get some knowledge and be armed with these information, and then they go to the community. So what they get from the community is not only they will get the challenges and they meet these challenges, but they also, hopefully, they have an understanding and the tolerance. And they also would understand that not everything that they think is the best way. So we are hoping that that would be what they get from these challenges. And also the fact that my students are mostly in the language program, so there is also all these opportunities in the field of languages that they can encounter and they can, you know, take advantage of, basically.
Okay. For Rosemary, please tell us a little bit more about the organization and then describe how the students from this class help your organization.
I actually work for three different volunteer programs. The two major ones are the foster grandparent program and the senior companion program. And we are placed under the auspices of, it used to be called Salt Lake County Aging Services. They just changed the name to Salt Lake Aging and Adult Services. We are part of a national federal program. These two programs have been around nationally probably over 40 years, and here in Utah between 30 and 45 years. We hire low-income seniors to work as stipended volunteers for $2.65 an hour. We have an initial interview, and if we think that they would do well, then we place them either in the home with a homebound frail senior or in a school or daycare with a child that's high risk. They have to go through intensive interviews, training. We have to have a criminal background check, run a national sexual offender check, and fingerprint these volunteers. And then once they are approved, then they can work for 20 hours a week. And because of the fact that the money is very little, it's $2.65 an hour, and they have to be low income, we tend to attract a lot of people that don't have any income and that don't speak English perfectly. So as I mentioned before, we have about 92 foster grandparents right now, and we have about 68 senior companions. We're kind of low on that, and we are hoping to hire more individuals. But the money that they earn is protected by law. It does not count as income. And we have found that many of the individuals that are immigrants or refugees, when they come here, they want to keep busy. They want to be able to earn a little bit of money. For some people, this is their only income that they earn. And so it's a big deal to them. And so because we have responsibilities and regulations to the federal government, it's mandated that we have training for them once a month. And in order for them to understand what's going on is why we initially started using interpreters. But now we have found that sometimes the students aren't able to help us for our trainings on Fridays, or maybe they're not available to come into our office and help us communicate with the volunteer. Maybe the volunteer is doing something they shouldn't be doing, like cheating on a timesheet or smacking little kids around or something like that. And they shouldn't be doing that. So, you know, we need to tell them, you have to follow our rules. So because the students don't always have the time to help us, I looked for new projects for them to be involved with. And one is that they can provide the same duties that a senior companion does. And they can go in and visit a frail, homebound older person and help them in the home, maybe take them to the doctor or shopping, help them around the house, just be a friend. And what I do is find clients that speak the same language that the student is learning. And sometimes that's a little bit difficult, but we try our best. So that gives the student one-on-one experience with the clients. We have a new program called the Independent Living Volunteer Program, and we don't pay any money. There are no benefits, and we can recruit anyone of any age, 18 on up. And so that's usually where I will place some of the students in that program so that they can turn in volunteer hours and receive secondary insurances through the county. And if the student isn't able to work in either field, but they really need a placement I offer them a third option, and that is I can place them in a senior center, and they can go in and teach a language class to seniors. And we have found that seniors are really welcoming to this. They love having classes. I have three students placed this semester. One is out at the Sandy Center teaching Spanish, and they just love him out there. He has a large group that he's working with. And I placed two other individuals at the 10th East Center, which is close to the university. One is teaching German, and the other is teaching French. And so, you know, I try to do the best I can to help the students so that they can utilize their skills and still have the opportunity to work with older people.
All right. And for Joffrey, as a former student and current volunteer, what do you think you gained the most from this class? What did you like about the class? Why are you still a volunteer with the organization?
So I started volunteering with Rosemary back when the program was slightly different, and I was mostly doing interpretation for the different trainings. The part that I really enjoyed was, believe it or not, meeting senior citizens. As Rosemary was saying, it's not something in our culture that is considered normal or that is that people tend to be attracted to. You know, no one goes. Few people, and they should do it more often, go to hang out at, you know, a retirement home. That just doesn't happen. However, meeting those people has been both really inspiring and just a really cool experience. I've met an older man from Spain who used to know Hemingway and have wine with him, you know, every week. I met former opera singers. I met just a wide variety of people coming from Russia, from Spain, from all around South America, many from Cuba, and just hearing their stories and kind of having that interaction with them has been a great experience.
Okay. For all of you, as you think about your experience with the community engaged portion of this class, what do you think are the primary outcomes to come from this class? And how has it impacted students, people in the community, and even other organizations? Is it possible that you can each give an example that you remember specific about a specific experience as with the community engaged portion?
Well, I have two examples. I had previously mentioned that I think it's really great for the students to utilize their language skills and also to be able to interact with seniors. A few years ago, before I started placing a lot of students with clients, is that me? My voice is loud, sorry. I had placed a student with, I had a German client who had been a senior companion and then eventually ended up being one of our clients. He was in his 90s. He had served under Hitler, and he had some really interesting stories to tell. And he spoke with a really heavy accent. Well, luckily I had this student that went in and started going in and helping him several times a week. And this student would take him grocery shopping, to the doctor, just out to eat, and just visit with him. Well, because of that student being able to spend extra time with him, we were able to keep that client out of a nursing home, because his family was really pushing for that. And my boss and I kind of just said, well, you know, we'll just keep putting volunteers in there to help him so that he can just stay at home, because really that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to reach to be 100 years old so that he could attend the governor's banquet for centenarians. So also the student was able to pick up on the gentleman's life story and was able to write a really great report, so it helped him with class. So that was a really great success story. Another would be that because of the fact that the students put out a lot of time and effort in helping us, we are able to allow these limited English speaking seniors to work, and they can feel like they're productive and they're helping other people, and they can pay for their own apartment and buy food and things like that. And we're also, with the students that help us with the trainings, we have trainings for anywhere from 60 to 80 individuals at one time. We can reach those large groups of Russians and Cubans and Vietnamese and whoever, so that they're all receiving the same message at the same time.
And so it's a big benefit for our programs and for the seniors.
You too.
Well, one of the things I have that I think a lot of our students, when they sign up for a class, sometimes they just look for an easy A and just get out of here. But it happens that a lot of our students, when they come, they look at this class as, okay, it's a volunteer, I'm going to go do this, and it's not. And during the class, you would notice that there is a lot of changes for them. They become more engaged. They become more involved. And what I would hope from the outcome of this class is that down the road, they become more responsible, civically engaged people in the society later on. Because what is, in fact, learning all these things, what's the point besides getting a 9-to-5 job? I don't want that. And I don't think they would want that. So this is the knowledge that it helps them in that sense. And they do get, when they get involved with the community and their community partner, they become much more civically engaged. And we've had students that at the beginning, they all keep talking to me and say, oh, 65 hours is too long, we can't do this. And then yet, even after the class is done, they're still continuing. And I think that's the great part of it.
And I would like to add on to that. I would say probably 2/3 or more of the students that have volunteered with us the last 10 years are still involved with our programs. Many of them, they'll stop in and see me, or they'll call and they'll say, do you have something you'd like me to do? Or if I need, if I can't find a volunteer for a, let's say I need to contact someone or resolve an issue, or I don't have an interpreter for a training, or I need to go out and do a placement and that client is non-English speaking as well as the volunteer, I can send out a mass email, and you'd be amazed at how many of the people still respond, and they say, oh, sure, I'd be glad to help, And so most of those individuals have kept an ongoing relationship with our programs. And it's been a real pleasure to work with
them. Jeff is still working.
And Jeff is a good example.
Okay. Yeah. I think one of the biggest benefit of the class, like I've said before, is that the practice that you get linguistically is just tremendous. You think you know how to speak a language until you have to do simultaneous interpretation, and then you realize how little you really know. But it's the first, couple times are hard, and then you just kind of get the hang of it, and it's just a great experience. Beyond that, if you're considering a career in, whether it's international affairs or something to do with linguistics, with languages, with social work, it's a great way to get involved and kind of get to know if that's really what you want to do. Because you can have those grand plans of, I want to do social work, I want to do that and this. Until you've actually done it, you don't really know. For me, I know that it was a great experience because it allowed me to realize that was my calling, so to speak, and that's what I wanted to do. And I'm still in that field here in Salt Lake City with the International Rescue Committee. And it's a great way to find out, if that's what you want to do.
Now we're going to open the forum to questions from members of the audience. Microphone will be passed out, and as this microphone gets passed out, if you have a question, state your name, what you're studying, and then ask the question directly into the microphone. So are there any questions?
I actually have a question.
So my name is Maher Farouk. I study political science, international, and Middle East studies. Classes like this are generally falsely stereotyped as just relevant to humanity majors or the social scientists. Can you talk about the relevance to other majors, for example, like a hard science major with one of these classes?
What do you mean by hard science? I mean, like
about the relevance to those types of fields as well, taking a class like the culture.
One of the students that contacted me last year was referred to me by Lily. Sometimes individuals will come to her and they're not taking her class and they'll say, I'd really like to volunteer and I have language skills. Well, one of the students that, he volunteered for about a year and he's still involved here and there, but he is studying to be a pediatrician. And he would come in and he helped us for quite a while with our trainings, and he was just awesome interpreter. Almost verbatim when he was interpreting information. And we would tease him because our boss would tell the seniors, well, just think, when this guy graduates, he could be your doctor. And then he'd look at us and just say, well, actually, I'm going to be a pediatrician. And my boss would say, well, it's the same thing, because our seniors act like children sometimes, you know. But I think that in cases like that, he was really grateful to us because we allowed him the ability to utilize his language skills and keep them intact. And, you know, so that when he is a doctor, he can work with those populations that are limited English speaking, because as we all know, Utah is changing dramatically. There are more and more immigrants coming in and more different cultures. You know, Utah is not white bread society as it was 10 years ago. I mean, it's becoming very interesting here. And so I think a lot of these people want to keep their language skills, whether they went on a mission or they're learning at the university or they're a native speaker, because it's a great skill to have. You never know when you need to use that.
And as a teacher, one of the things you get from this class is not that you have to have a language, be a language major. You can be political science. I do have students in medical school. I do have students who are in law school who are taking this class. First of all, some of you, if you are in sciences, some of them, they want to have another approach. They want to go different ways. So they can take that class. You do need to know a language. So that's the part of the, as you would call it, soft part of it. But we also talk about human rights in our class. We also talk, we have the effects of, let's say, even Obamacare, for instance, on immigrants. So this class is basically mostly about immigrants and the issues as immigrants and refugees are facing. We do have guest speakers. For instance, yesterday we had the head of the director of the Relief Society of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who came and talked about what is a humanitarian work and what do we know of it. And not necessarily just that the church does this and that. It's just what do you think it's a humanitarian work? So you get tons of knowledge in that sense as well. And we also, a lot of our students are Spanish speakers, so they're familiar with Latin America. I'm originally, from my accent, you understand, I'm not from the United States originally. I'm Iranian, and I'm a Muslim. And I always tell them that let's hear it from the horse's mouth. I'm a woman, I'm Iranian, and I'm Muslim, and I'm proud of three. And I want you to hear it from me. So we talk about different issues. So you get knowledge on those aspects as well. As well as one can do, of course, on each and one of these issues, you can have a class, you can have a whole field of study about human rights. So as much as we can fit in within a semester, we'll talk about these things. And the reflections that the students do is a fantastic part and fantastic addition of this, that they have to talk about the issues we talk in the class as well as what they do in the service.
Not to mention working with different age groups and different cultures just opens up a whole new world to a lot of individuals who might not have had that opportunity.
Hi, my name is Aline Andrade, and the class sounds really, I'm a film major. The class sounds really interesting, but if you're graduating and you're not going to be signing up for any classes in the future, how do we go about volunteering without being signed up for the class?
I brought cards and some brochures. You could always contact me. I have a lot of volunteers now for the Independent Living Volunteer Program that are different ages. They have to be at least 18, and we do have to run a criminal background check on you before you can volunteer for us. And that's to protect you as well as the clients that you'll be working with. But we're more than happy to have, in fact, that's one thing I wanted to mention today. If any of you would like to volunteer, you don't even have to speak a language to volunteer for us. Just have the desire to meet new people and make a difference.
And I believe that our syllabus is in the website of the Bennion Center, and if not, I'd be happy to send you some. In addition to Rosemary's organization, we have other partners also that you can, this is a class that you can have with, work with different community partners. So there are other people that if you want to work with, I'm sure, what's your language?
Portuguese.
Well, okay. Then it's a little bit harder, but we will find you a place. We also provided another, you know, like some languages you have a lot of exposure, such as Spanish. Not necessarily it's true for other languages, such as Persian, Arabic, and others. So it's actually a good way to start. Portuguese the same.
My name is Aline Schwei, and my major is International Studies with an emphasis in global health. And I was interested in more information about the International the Rescue Committee.
Mm-hmm. Sure. We're an international humanitarian aid organization. We were founded in the early 1930s at the suggestion of Albert Einstein, who was himself a refugee. We operate in over 30 countries around the world. And in 22 cities here in the United States, our work in Salt Lake City is based on refugee resettlement. So we welcome people fleeing conflict and persecutions around the world. And the United States provides them with a safe haven to come and live here. And so we help them readjust to their new environment and kind of thrive here in their new life.
My name is Anthony Anderson. I'm studying chemical engineering, a little bit different than a lot of what you hear in here. But I had two questions. One was, and I guess you've kind of already answered this question, but it was about the diversity of different languages, what languages you are like have available. I speak Italian personally. I don't know if you ever used that one. So that was my first question. My second question was how many hours typically in a week end up being dedicated to this class and to more, not just the class itself, but the application and helping these people. Mm-hmm. How many hours in a week does that typically use?
The syllabus demands 65 hours of service. So, which also include if you need a training, if you're preparing a PowerPoint for your organization, anything that you do would be counted as part of your service. Now, having said that, I mean, normally making a PowerPoint doesn't take 35 hours. One would hope. So I've come across that too. But anyway, so those are all part of your hours. It would be counted as your hours. Then there is also some readings. We have some suggested readings. So if we have guest speakers, sometimes they would send an article or something that they want you to read prior to the class. None of them are very, very long because we each session we cover a subject. So then it would be probably between, I would say, maybe four, six hours of service per week.
Okay.
That would be about. Cover it.
65 is the whole semester.
The whole semester, technically speaking, and I would not encourage this. Technically speaking, well, first of all, you're not going to get grade for your service hours, but you would not get your grade before your service is done. So even though if you've done your academic part of it, including we do have a simulation exercise and reflections as well as your final paper, but. So you can get an incomplete and finish your service later on. I wouldn't suggest that because normally next semester you'd be involved with other classes and it would be too hard to get back again into the realm of things if you haven't done it. But that's a possibility too.
Hi, my name is Sabrina. I'm majoring in International Studies and Middle East Studies. And I'm actually just a little more interested in the people that you work with. What would you say is... what are some of the hardest things that they face when they come to the United States and they're trying to, you know, whether it's finding jobs or learning the language, meeting people, finding that support community? What do you think is maybe the hardest thing that they have to encounter? And how do you, I guess, try to address that problem that you see?
I would say, of course, all of them are very important issues, you know, and challenges that one would face. Integration, not knowing the language. A lot of our, particularly the newer refugees, are coming from the Middle Eastern countries that they don't necessarily know, and from this background that they do not necessarily know the language. So the language is very important. I personally would say that what is most important to them is that to show them that you care. And not necessarily by And what I would suggest to all of you, if you ever get involved with any part of immigrants or any kind of other services, is that not assume that you know what they need. Because you may go to a house and you think, oh, they need a new furnace, new carpeting and whatnot, but they might just need, something else. They might need just a friendly face. So I think that would be the most important thing, not to assume that what they need, and just go and listen to them and see, and the community and the community partner will tell you what they need.
I would say one of the biggest challenges that they face, at least the newly arrived refugees that I work with, is finding employment. We help them through that period of readjustment with, the rent, utilities, all the things they need. But the day they find a job is the day they become independent, and that's crucial. That's the first way I got involved with the IRC was as an employment intern. So I helped clients gain the skills they needed to get interviews and then get the jobs. And I know that around the office, the day we don't see a client anymore, sometimes we've worked with them for 2-3 years, we're happy because we know that they don't need us anymore. And that's kind of what this is all about. It's about creating self-sufficiency, and that starts with economic self-sufficiency.
Any other questions?
Before I forget, ask for Italian. If you wanted to sign up under Italian, go under CLCS. Some languages have their own designation. Those who do not have it, then they go under CLCS.
All right, if there are no other questions, I'd just like to thank all the panelists for their time and their participation with the Hinckley Institute of Politics. I'd like to thank the Hinckley Institute for co-hosting this forum. If you have any questions about community-engaged learning in general or the Banyan Center, just stop by the center. We're in room 101 of the union. Join the Banyan Center on Saturday. For the Saturday Service Project. Saturday Service Projects bring community members and students together, and this Saturday we're going to be serving Horizonte School, which is at 1234 Main Street in Salt Lake City, and we're going to be tutoring adults in ESL and prepare education kits for students in Utah and around the world. And you don't need to register. All you need to do is show up with a friendly attitude. Thank you all again for participation, and make sure you grab a piece of pizza before they're all gone.
Well, thank you for having us.